You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hello, Earthlings. Welcome back to Tomorrow's World, the Wire segment where we chat science, society, and the future. This week, we're talking with environmental scientist Elliot Stevens about river management and slash control. Now, following the recent cyclone, it's likely you've seen images of forest waste spread over flood areas in Gisborne and Hawke's Bay. This is better known as slash. Now, council have confirmed that this has killed livestock and wildlife. It is normally stored in bird nest piles, and in the Resource Management Act, there are recommendations for slash traps. But who's really accountable? Is this a new issue? And how did it get there? Elliot gives us an insight on all of these questions. Before we get into the interview, it's important to note that at the time of recording this episode, the Forestry Minister, Stuart Nash, and Environmental Minister, David Parker, have announced a ministerial inquiry to look at the damage caused by woody debris, including slash and sediment-related damage.
So my name's Elliot Stevens, and I recently completed my master's research, and I was looking at catchment management broadly. And more specifically, looking at how river stories can support and sort of inform catchment management plans to make them sort of a more, I guess, holistic and catchment-centric plan rather than what they are at the moment. Doing my research on the Waimata River, which is down in Gisborne. Now, a lot more people are aware of the plight of the east coast of the North Island and sort of a lot of the issues that they're facing and have been facing for a long time. Research sort of unearthed that, you know, there's a lot of values and mindsets because at the end of the day, these people are in the catchment every day. They either live there, work there, or use it for their recreation.
You could explain, I guess, the idea of catchment management and bringing people together.
So, I mean, catchment management's been around a long time and it does hold a lot of value. But I think maybe it's a product of like the capacities of the people sort of actioning these plans and also, I guess, policies that are set at a national level. There's a lot of things that aren't captured. So, for example, in Gisborne, you know, you've got the district council, but they're looking after the whole of the East Cape. And so there's, I guess, constraints there. And so they've got some things that they have to fulfill under the Resource Management Act. Three Waters will come into it a little bit. What I'm trying to, tried to show was that it's not necessarily like a council-centric approach, like it needs to be more inclusive of communities and actually that they do bring a lot of value to it and can sort of increase that capacity.
And I think when, you know, we've just gone through the floods and people think, oh, how did it get to this? Surely people are aware that maybe areas are flood prone or what were systems in place, why the management perhaps led to what we did see.
In Gisborne, you can sort of draw a line back to Cyclone Bola, which was kind of before the last few we've had, was like the real big event. And there was a lot of erosion following that event as well. And so we had catchments that were getting planted and as erosion mitigation measures. And there's a lot of pine trees. And so we have inherently ended up with a lot of catchments that have a lot of pine trees. And what you do with those pine trees is obviously up to the landowner. And so some of them will chop them down and sell them as timber. And more recently, you've got carbon farming. And so it was for a long time, it was seen, well, it was the solution. And I guess now we are seeing, well, Gisborne has seen it for a while, you know, when these trees are getting chopped down, you are still getting flow on effects. And so I guess that's something that needs to start coming to catchment plans a bit more. I'm not saying it isn't in there now, but maybe we need to have a wider look at the impacts on people and sort of what the different compartments of society are being impacted by these things. And don't get me wrong, I think forestry has a place, but we need to find the right place for it.
You know, that forestry is a fantastic resource, things we use in everyday life, but exactly, it's challenging that status quo of this is how forestry works, or this is the most efficient way to perhaps, you know, go through and do a harvest or leave slash. And then we now see those consequences, and it's an opportunity to actually perhaps reframe it or put in those policies or mitigations so that doesn't happen again. I guess people have heard the word slash thrown around in the media in the last couple of weeks, and perhaps it's not directly at your research. I guess, what is it?
Yeah, and I think it was definitely raised in the research. You know, forestry slash is a key concern for communities all along that coast. But to answer your question, slash put simply, is sort of like the leftover bits after or during and after forestry harvest. So you've got, you know, your roots, and you've got like broken branches, broken trunks, sort of the stuff that they can't conceivably sell. Yeah, I guess maybe finding a market for those in some way would help. Hopefully the forestry inquiry raises some good points and sort of everyone's able to have their say on it, I think, because the last thing you want is to have the inquiry and then only, you know, select people are able to partake. And as I said, like my research unearthed a lot of information that would be valuable to them.
What were some of the discussions around slash?
Yeah, and I mean, the slash for the communities and the people that I spoke with was not a new issue. And so they've always had a concern for it. And obviously it affects their livelihoods and it affects, you know, their way of life.
I guess the segment that we do with Tomorrow's World, it's looking at often issues that have become topical, but then imagining in the future. And like you said, it is complex and perhaps it's not just one answer, but where do you imagine this going, or where do we need to transition where these issues perhaps don't keep reoccurring, or we're aware of them and we can be prepared for them?
I think it comes back to my comment before about getting enough people around the table to talk about it. I don't think it's going to be a quick fix. It's not going to look the same for every catchment. You know, there's avenues to get rid of the slash. And I think maybe that needs to be a discussion before we harvest. So we need to be thinking about what's going to happen afterwards. And so like linking back to your comment about tomorrow's world, I think we do need to be having those forward-looking, sort of looking at trajectories.
There's ideas, you know, of slash traps, or perhaps you said you could find other avenues for it, or some sort of industry use. Do you think it will need that policy at the top to make the change?
Yeah, I think there is going to be some sort of impetus at the top that says, okay, no, we actually do need to make changes and you're bound to make the change. But I think equally bottom-up approaches are going to be helpful in finding solutions.
I guess maybe to summarise, but also to go back to your research, you've had lots of interesting findings from it. What are perhaps to you some of the really key interesting points from it?
One of the things that I really enjoyed and probably got stuck into is like the unique histories of each catchment. So the Waimata is steeped in history, and people still live that history today, and they take great satisfaction out of, you know, certain things being still in their original form. And also, I guess, until you go and immerse yourself in these communities, you don't realize how much these rivers mean to people. Just having these green and blue spaces is immensely powerful. Every community sort of deserves to have access to these places.
Now, that's all we have time for today, but what an insightful conversation, and hopefully we see real action come from the inquiry due in April.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.